This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico. More than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The auto strikes are limited right now, but what if they don't stay that way? From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Detroit's big three automakers and the union representing their workers are nowhere near an agreement. They are still far apart on wages, but the strike is only 4 days old and it's limited. Not all workers are striking. But what happens if the strike settles in for the long haul? And what if it grows, as the union has threatened? Marketplace's Nova Sappo takes a look.
United Auto Workers represents nearly 150,000 employees at GM, Ford, and Stellantis. Right now, less than 10% are on strike. So analysts expect this will have no immediate impact on the broader economy. That calculation changes, though, if the strike lasts for weeks, if not months, as previous ones have, and if all auto workers walk off their jobs. According to one forecast, an all-out strike would dent quarterly economic growth by at least 1.7 percentage points. That would be a significant blow, though likely not enough to send quarterly GDP growth into negative. Another forecast predicts a total strike would decrease U.S. vehicle production by more than 30%, and that could push up used vehicle prices. Enough to increase inflation? Probably not, according to another analyst. Other factors, such as oil prices, have bigger effects on inflation readings. Bottom line, the economy could suffer at least some damage if the strike drags on and expands. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
The yield on the 10-year Treasury is the highest it has been since 2007. Now, the special thing about 10-year Treasuries is they last 10 years, so the investors buying them have to take into account what the economy will be like for the next 10 years. So in that way, yields are kind of like a crystal ball, or at least a window into investors' predictions about the future. One reason yields are high right now is because interest rates are expected to be high for a while. Julia Coronado is founder of Macro Policy Perspectives and a professor at UT Austin.
Central banks around the world, including, importantly, Japan, have signaled that they're going to raise interest rates. China isn't doing as well. That may mean they are going to be buying fewer treasury bonds. All of these things have put a lot of upward pressure, and investors think the Fed is going to keep interest rates higher for longer. That's something the Fed has been trying to convince the market of, and now they're convinced.
The Fed is meeting this week, and it's pretty much expected they're not going to do anything to rates this time around. But what might they say? What might Chair Powell say about the outlook beyond?
I think Chair Powell probably would prefer to say less rather than more and just let the data do the talking. Whatever they do next depends on whether inflation continues to cool or not. But they are also publishing a forecast, and most people do expect they'll keep another interest rate hike in their forecast.
Traditional revenue sources for public media, and really the media at large, are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Home ownership has historically been one of the most reliable ways for families to build wealth in this country. But for many observant Muslims, it's complicated. Paying interest, like you would in a conventional mortgage, goes against Islamic rules around finance. Now, more institutions are offering Islamic financing to meet what they see as growing demand. Maine Public Radio's Ari Snyder reports.
Sophie Mutamuliza says buying a house has been a long-term goal for her and her husband since they moved to Maine from Rwanda nearly a decade ago.
It's been our dream. It's been our dream since back home.
But they are observant Muslims and abide by religious prohibition against paying interest. It's seen as financial exploitation. Mutamuliza says she looked for local institutions to work with, but at first couldn't find any. She and her husband even started thinking about a move to a state where Islamic home finance is more accessible. But Mutamuliza says she didn't want to leave Maine.
We feel like we know the place, but again, thinking about leaving it was a little bit frustrating.
Islamic mortgage solutions are more common in other states, and they end up costing about the same as conventional home loans. The difference is in the structure. Hassam Qutb is with Guidance Residential, an Islamic home financing institution based in Virginia. He says one model is when the buyer and the financier purchase a property together. In that sense, Qutb says companies like his are not lenders. They're co-owners.
And that's the cornerstone of Islamic finance, is actually having the financing institution own the property with you.
The buyer then pays back the financier's share over time. Instead of interest, the buyer pays an added fee for exclusive use of the property. Qutb says for his company, that fee is based on prevailing interest rates. There's no easy way to track the total value of Islamic mortgages in the U.S., but Qutb says demand is rising.
Our average annual growth rate on that over the last 20 years has been roughly 12.2%.
And in Maine, where Mutamuliza lives, a bank called Androscoggin saw unmet demand for Islamic mortgages, especially as the state's Muslim community grew. Androscoggin Bank President and CEO Neil Kiley says many Muslim families were stuck in rental units.
So they don't get the economic empowerment that comes from building equity in their own home, which can have a generational impact.
After months of research, late last year, the bank became the state's first to offer Islamic mortgage solutions. Sophie Mutamuliza and her family were some of the first clients. In January, they bought a home in a small town about 30 minutes from Portland. After nearly leaving Maine, Mutamuliza says she now feels more at home than ever.
Now we are here. No moving back.
Mutamuliza and her husband are now planning to renovate a freestanding garage in the backyard. They might turn it into a guest apartment or rent it out. In Portland, Maine, I'm Ari Snyder for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.